Looking at the chapters, I'm going to highlight some verses from Joshua chapters 1 through 5, and picking up from where we left off with Pastor Rick's powerful message last week. And my subtitle for this is Home Again, Home Again. I was remembering a great epic poem, Home Again, Home Again, but I couldn't find it. And then I realized it's not an epic poem at all. It's a nursery rhyme. To market, to buy a sweet plum bum. Home again, market is done. Home again, or to market, to buy a fat pig. Home again, jiggity jig. That's a variation on that. But anyway, so home again, welcome home. Home to our faith. And so as we look to Joshua 1:9, this is part of the first chapter that is preparation and affirmation for God's people coming into the promised land. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Everybody say, with you.
With you.
Wherever you go. So the preparation is to gather strength and courage for what lies ahead. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. And the affirmation, of course, that God is with us. And then a couple verses later, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing a place to rest and will give you this land. And so we have in God a promised land, and it's described here as a place of rest. And when we come to worship, to enter into worship and to meet with God, it is to find rest. That's why our worship time is on the so-called Sabbath. It's meant to be a day of rest. And the promised land is figured that way as well. The Lord is providing a place to rest and will give you this land. And then we move to the second chapter. And again, this is preparation. Joshua sent the two spies ahead, and they stayed under protection, hidden in the home of a prostitute named Rahab. And Rahab said to the man, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that dread of you has fallen on us. So God's people are known. God is known amongst the people who were not of God. And they had fear. They dreaded, because the story of the crossing of the Red Sea was still known about what God did. And here's Rahab, and the verse continues, and all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. Can you imagine, because of what God has done and what God is doing, that there's a fear, a dread? So being against God strikes fear. If we're with God, we have a different kind of, it's called awe and respect. But I wanted to mention, too, about Rahab, and that is, she is mentioned three times in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she is listed in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Rahab is honored because of her treatment of God's people when they came. And because of her protection, she was then protected when her city was invaded. By hanging a scarlet cord on her window, the soldiers would know to leave that family alone. And then mentioned again in Hebrews and also in the book of James, she's been honored. God placed a woman there at the time with Joshua's people, and also in remembrance, the New Testament time. And we're remembering her today, that the place being honored because of her faithfulness. And then we move to chapter 3. And again, this is preparation now. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And Joshua says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And to sanctify means to get right with God. It has to do with purity. It has to do with focus. Get ready for the wonders that God is going to do. And I wonder if this morning we can sanctify ourselves. Jesus, when he prayed for us on the night he was betrayed, he said, they are sanctified by the washing of the word. And so we can be sanctified this morning through Jesus Christ, the washing of his word, to prepare for the wonders. Anybody else here besides me who hungers for God's wonders? I sure do. The miracle of God's wonders. And so it's about preparation. And then by this you shall know that among you is the living God. And this has to do with God's presence. We don't want to miss God's presence when we study the Bible from ancient times. And we sure don't want to miss God's presence when we show up here in our worship and in our studies and in our fellowship. Amen? Do not miss the presence of God. I love the story of the walk to Emmaus and the two that Jesus has been risen, and but they don't really know it yet. And these two that are amazed are talking. They're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about Jesus and all the things. And Jesus shows up, and he says, "What are you guys talking about?" Well, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, and I don't get into the whole story, but the point is, sometimes Jesus shows up, and we don't even recognize he's walking beside us. You see, the risen Lord. And so we want to really understand the presence of the living God. And then in the fourth chapter, this is telling the story. And I encourage you to take time in God's Word. Read Joshua chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Read this story, this powerful story about the crossing of the river. I know some friends from this church. One of them was Keith, and they went fishing the last couple days. And they said how high the banks of the river were. And it reminded me, in this story, this was harvest time, and the banks of the Jordan River were overflowing. They were at flood stage. That was a pattern. And these waters were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark was the emblem of God's presence that went before. 12 priests carried the Ark. And when they stepped into the water, the waters dried up, and the waters piled up. And all God's children crossed the river following the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And then 12 leaders, one from each tribe, 12 tribes, 12 leaders were instructed to get a stone. And when the Ark of the Covenant crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. There were 12 stones pulled out of the riverbed and placed on shore as a memorial forever. I'm not sure we can find those rocks, but it says a memorial forever. So I want to let that sink in a little bit, and we'll come back to that. A memorial forever. So this is a picture, not the actual stones, of course, but it gets the picture and reminds us that God instructed his people not only to make a memorial, but also to build altars with uncut stones. And this was a pattern for memorializing the acts and mighty wonders of God, and also to make an emblem of worship, the altar of God. And then we go to this fifth chapter, verse 15. The commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now, commentators refer to this commander as an angel of the Lord. Most important is to understand it was God's presence. God was presenting to Joshua this angel, this message. And we look at the place, they've crossed the Jordan River, they're near Jericho. And you have to ask, what's holy about the ground? Why is that land or that ground holy? It's not because of the geography, it's because of who's there right now. You see, it's the presence of God. It's the presence of God coming to Joshua in the form of the commander of the army of the Lord. Wouldn't that be a cool vision? Wouldn't that be a cool dream to have? The army of God's showing up and speaking to you. Take off your sandals. You are standing on holy ground. Now, it's not our custom to remove shoes. I kind of do. The last three or four visits, I kick off my shoes, and they always tell me, oh, you don't have to take off your shoes. And if you come to my house, you don't have to take off your shoes. We don't have much carpeting or anything. But when I visited friends in the Middle East, and even in Singapore, don't forget to take your shoes off. It's a real big deal. It's almost an insult. You take off your shoes out of respect. And I don't know if it's about the holiness thing, but from the ancient times in the Middle Eastern culture, this was a sign of respect and holiness when you take off your sandals. But this becomes for us an invitation right now. And we want to remember to be strong. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Strength comes from God. The presence of God will meet us right where we are, no matter what, but won't leave us the same. And we can derive and draw strength from God's presence. Can I have an amen? And then to be courageous has to do with opposite of fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Sanctification is often described as a process of maturing in the faith, but it's also used to describe what it means to be perfected in God's love. It doesn't make us perfect in our performance, but it means that we are completed by God's love. And when we grow in the fullness, it's just like one of these balloons being expanded and to fulfill its purpose. When we are filled with God, filled with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish our purpose and there's no room for fear because the love of God has completed us. So we have God's promise to be with you and it's God's presence. Look at these verses. You've heard them before. We already looked at Joshua 1:9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And remember, I, Jesus, am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20, the second half of the verse. With you always. And I, Jesus, will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. John 14:16. This is the Spirit of truth who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. John 14:17. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. John 14:26. And then, at the end book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. Are we getting it yet? Are you seeing the pattern? The home of God. Last week, we talked about the home for a Heavenly Father, the home for Jesus, the home of the Holy Spirit. All of these. The home of God that is with us, God who is in us. And from last week, Rick said the home is where God's heart is. And so I want to be that home of God. I really do. And I need God's help to do it. So the 12 stones, which are a physical stack of rocks as a memorial forever, leads us to this church home. We don't have a stack of stones, but we have a cornerstone. This is the original one, Occupy Till I Come. The church began in 1960. There were 17 charter members, only two of which are still here, and that would be Richard and Clarice Krause. I'm not going to embarrass them any more than I already have, but I'm not going to make you stand up, but they're here this morning to worship. And I want to thank them again for letting me come into their home to visit with them. They told me all about the kids. Boy, do I know stuff about you guys now. They told me how they met, how they came to Christ. Richard came to Christ at a younger age as a boy, and Clarice came later. After they met, Clarice began to go to church with her husband, and it began. There's a rich history, and we don't have time to unpack all that, of the evangelical church, and there was evangelical association, and then there was what was called the Albright's people, and the Germans, and all of that. But it all led to those who became the E-Free Church, Evangelical Free Church. And so this was Richard's church, and Clarice began to attend with him, and it was under the preaching of, help me with the passage, Sondergram? Sahlstrom. Thank you. Under his preaching, Clarice responded to an invitation. They shared what Howard shared about the mission history of this church, the emphasis on missions, and how strong and how important it was. And Richard again and again said how strong in the preaching of the word and the invitation to accept Christ. And so Richard, from an early age, and Clarice as a young adult, came to know Christ as part of this ministry. And I celebrate their lives as a living memorial. So be sure to give them a hug before you leave church. I want everybody to hug Richard and Clarice, okay? Says, and it's not about the age, it's about a living memorial. Do you get it? It's not about a stone anymore. It's about you and me. We get to be part of this. We are observing this. We're part of this fellowship. We are part of a living memorial. And today the conversation in this message is about the remembrance of the deliverance of God's people across the Jordan River to celebrate our faith, to be found in Christ and Christ be found in us. Hallelujah! It's a good day. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. So I want to close with a couple more scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, come to him, Jesus Christ, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The stones is an old covenant picture of an actual pile of rocks and the picture of altars. The new covenant translation now is to human beings as the dwelling for God. So in closing, let us be reminded of God's deliverance of his people out of slavery, the bondage that they had in Egypt, and just as Moses led the people out of bondage, out of slavery, into the 40 years of the wandering, again because of their sin, and as Pastor Rick pointed out, that was their identity. They had an identity of being slaves. They had an identity of being wanderers. But now they are people who are feared. They are people who have stepped into freedom. And now they cross the river into the promised land. And so instead of slaves and wanderers, they are now children of God, freed and victorious. And some of us have a river to cross over this morning. Maybe in slavery to sin. This is a moment to get right with God, to know for sure God loves you. Got an I love you balloon so somebody can have it as a gift. Take it home as a reminder. I mean it. To know for sure my sins, all my sins. Every now and then I get hit with a memory and I cringe. It's a remembrance of something I did wrong or a time in my life and I just go, I wonder if that ever happens to anybody. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But it just hurts. And even though I know I've confessed it long ago, every now and then I just get hit. And I need the reminder of God's deliverance and God's full forgiveness. Maybe some of you are enslaved to debt. It's a burden. And it's time to get out of debt. God wants his children to be debt-free. How much more generous we can be if we are debt-free. I just made a rhyme. I'm on a roll here. So I want you to Imagine that you're on a journey and you have to take your next step. And there's a river to cross to come out of slavery into that identity. We sang about, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I want to live that way. I want to speak it. I really want to experience it and live this freedom. Out of the identity as a slave to a child of God, forgiven, free, and victorious. And then there's another river to cross. It's expressed in the third verse of the hymn, Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow, verse 3 says, and then one day I'll cross that river, pointing to that time in our lives when we transition from the body we have into the presence of God in a brand new way, undescribable. And so, just as those first chapters of Joshua were preparation and affirmation for crossing the river, the living out of our faith as living stones, people who identify with Jesus Christ, we are preparing to cross that river one day. Amen? And Jesus says, whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. How about saying amen to that? Amen. It's good news. Crossing our Jordan River. So you're not enslaved to anything. Bad memories, abuse, doesn't matter. God sets us free today. God sets us free today, crossing our Jordan rivers. Home again, home again. So the new poem says, to church, to worship the Lord. Home again, to do it some more. And then when I'm through in this life and cross that river, I'm going to do it some more. Home again, home again. So in closing now, we come to this expression of God's presence. Would you acknowledge God's presence here, right now, speaking to you, wooing you to make a decision, a faithful decision, a drawing near decision? And to help you in this decision, I'm calling the band to come back up now. We're going to sing a song entitled Holy Ground.